Today I sat down with my friend Corey Hendrickson to have a conversation about the spiritual practice known as the Prayer of Examine. This is a type of guided prayer. Think less of a formula and more of a pattern, which brings your attention to God's presence both within the world and within our own hearts. I'm excited to share this with you if you, like me, struggle to slow down and bring your attention back to the reality of God's nearness. At the end of this interview, Corey will lead us in a guided prayer so we can experience the Prayer of Examine for ourselves. And if you'd like to read more about this spiritual practice, Corey's blog can be found at kensingtonchurch.org/blog or in the show notes. Thanks for being here. So if you throw in some Latin, some of us feel rather intimidated. Would you say the spiritual practice of the Prayer of Examine is for everyone and not just academic types or meditation types?
Yes. That's funny. It's one of those things of when we talk about the Prayer of Examine, sometimes the Latin gives it like weight and significance, which can be helpful, but we also don't want it to turn people off and be like, well, I don't speak Latin, so this is not for me.
Right. Or for a brand new believer, is this accessible for everyone?
Right. So sometimes even just talking about it is like, oh, this is just the prayer of reflection. Or, you know, you could take the root of the word examine and be like, oh, it's a prayer of examination. Does that maybe
not an exam or a test?
Yes.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
I like that. Yeah. Good distinction. You're not being tested, but you're just simply like reflecting. So sometimes if you, on one hand, it's like, oh, we like to use the Latin or keep the Latin because that's where it comes from. But at the same time, it's like, oh, we don't want this to feel inaccessible. I think when I started doing the Prayer of Examine, I was a veteran Christian, but I...
Yeah, you look pretty old, by the way. How old are you? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? I was a veteran, like, I've been a Christian my whole life, but, like, something like the Prayer of Examine was something I never touched. So I didn't need to be, like, I didn't need to know Latin. I didn't need to go to seminary for this thing. It was just simply like, oh, here's a tool that I can use. Like, in the same way anyone can use the Lord's Prayer, this is a very similar like construct that just says like, oh, it's a framework that I can use to help me think about my life, think about where God is with me and how I might respond to him in the future.
So it's a pattern that can prompt us.
Yeah.
That leads me to my next question. What do you think is the value of having a pattern for our prayers? Do you think it's more forced or restrictive than spontaneous prayer? Mm. Or is it valuable to have guidelines or a format?
Yeah. As much as I like to say, like, prayer is just simply talking to God. Something like the Prayer of Examine or the Lord's Prayer can give you a framework that's like, okay.
I was thinking about, as a writer, having open-ended questions sometimes are too broad and it makes it harder, versus having a few parameters and then I can be creative within those parameters. Do you think it's more forced or restrictive than spontaneous prayer?
I don't think it's more forced. I think it simply can give you a helpful framework. Like sometimes if you're going to the gym, it can be really helpful to be like, all right, I might run a couple miles on the treadmill and then I might lift a couple of weights and I might go play basketball for a little bit. Like, that's all great exercise and it's all really good for you. But sometimes, at least for me, I know that I need like a structure and a routine and I need somebody
like a plan.
I need somebody.
And maybe a trainer, somebody to help you a little.
Exactly. So this is kind of like a prayer trainer, if you will, to kind of like, all right, start with thinking about gratitude.
And I think maybe a pattern acts almost as a series of prompts that's pulling out of us what we've really experienced or what we're really feeling, rather than thinking of it as being walled in or having boundaries. It can be really helpful. I was reading the sections of the Prayer of Examine, and I was wondering if you could explain the difference between the examine of consciousness and the examine of conscience.
Yeah.
Just in layman's terms, real quick.
Yes, absolutely. So even when I like talk about it or teach it, I have to like sit and be like, okay, I saw God in my drive in the sunset, is the examine of consciousness. But your examine of conscience is like, okay, how angry was I on the road when the guy cut me off?
Okay.
And was that an opportunity to respond in grace? Or was it, or, you know, maybe an area where it's like, all right, I have some anger that I need to work out.
Would you say it's the examine of consciousness is like looking all around you, and then the examine of conscience is looking within?
Yes. Ooh, okay. That's perfect. Like, total, like way better way that, like, you use so few words to try to pack in what I was saying.
I try to be concise.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's why you're the copywriter, right? Yeah, looking inward is, what is the soul work that has to be done? Versus, like, where is simply, like, where are you present?
Right.
Where is God present with you?
And then there's another section on gratitude, and you mentioned that before. I was curious. Do you think gratitude is natural, or is it a way of living that has to be learned?
Absolutely. The big things are easy. But what we really need is maybe somebody to like snap that into focus a little bit, or just challenge you to say, are you grateful?
Do you feel like it's training our hearts as well as even our brain pathways to focus on the positive sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because you're just... again, you're not living on autopilot.
Right.
And you're able to see, if we say that all good gifts come from God, to really say like, oh, there is God in all of these things. I can see God in my daughter when she's playing, or even when she's being a little snot sometimes. Like, oh, okay. Those are like, I can still see this as a gift because I'm still grateful for it.
I definitely need to do that, because as somebody who edits even just words, I always see the things that need to be fixed or polished,
mm-hmm.
or I see their potential for greater perfection. And so sometimes I need to reverse that and be grateful for what is. Corey, can you remember a specific time or season in your life in which this prayer of examine was a significant tool that God used?
Yeah, for sure. So the prayer of examine was introduced to me by my mentor. She's a spiritual director, and during a season of life where I was like, you know, I believe in God. I feel okay with my relationship with God, but like, it's just kind of stale. It's just kind of stagnant. What can I do to spark a little life into it? And she recommended this prayer of examine. So, and what I noticed is just through the simple act of like slowing down and paying attention to where God was in my life, I was able to kind of stop moving on autopilot and just bring my recognition throughout my day, and through like specifically towards the end of my day, to where was God moving? What was he trying to say to me? Where did I maybe miss God, or where did I hear from God and maybe just chose to do something differently?
And what would you say to those who question if it's still relevant?
I would say that there's not a whole lot of things that are new under the sun. Like the longings and desires of our hearts have not changed over the course of history. So these things that were developed in the 15th century can still be helpful for us here in the 21st century. We're still looking for, who am I? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? And this practice gives you just a little bit of a chance to slow down and really consider, like, am I living into my identity? Am I living into my purpose? Am I understanding where God is, and where is my positioning towards or with him? And really it gives us a foundation for what is true. You know, we can read as much as we want to, we can experience as much as we want to, but as Christians, we are bringing ourselves back towards truth, which is Christ, and being aware of his actions and his presence throughout our daily lives is a thing that continues to bring us back to what truth is. Does that make sense?
I like that, because a lot of times I think about truth as being correct doctrine or belief, but you're kind of saying you need to experience truth. You need to come into the presence of God and experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point. And also, it's so relevant for us in that we don't slow down very often, mm-hmm. as our culture is more and more busy and frantic and we feel pulled in directions, then this could be really useful for us. Mm-hmm. Corey, what would you say to those worried about doing the prayer of examine the right way, which air quotes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the perfectionists out there that are like, okay, I'm gonna do this the right way. I'm gonna cross off all the steps.
Check all the boxes. Us add things to our to-do list that we've already done just so we can cross them off.
Oh, I do that. High five. yeah. So what I mentioned this a little bit in the blog. I'm a big Star Wars fan. And one of the most famous lines from Star Wars is Jedi Master Yoda telling young Luke Skywalker, do or do not, there is no try. And this is the right. This is the one area where I would like to say, Jedi Master Yoda, you are incorrect. Because when it comes to spiritual practices, all we can do is try.
I like that. There's all we can do. Yeah. Is try.
All we can do is try. Okay. Because if we only see spiritual practices as something that you win or lose at or pass and fail at, like, that's not what growth is. There are some seasons of growth where you need to be dormant and you might not see something physically growing, but that doesn't mean nothing's happening within it. We talk in the blog a little bit about how our souls are kind of like plants, where we can't really, you know, if you're a gardener, I don't know if you are.
A
little bit. You can't force your plant to grow. You might, all we can do is put it in the position that it might be able to grow. So you can make sure it gets enough sun, gets enough water, gets enough fertilizer. I don't really grow things, so I don't know if plants need anything other than those three. But you can put it in the position to grow, and then God actually is the one, like, God's design in creation is the thing that makes it grow.
I love that analogy. So our responsibility is about posture and giving our souls what they need, but it's really God. It's miraculous, and it's out of our hands when mm-hmm. He causes spiritual growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to, for some of my students, when I was a youth pastor, I'd like to tell kids, like, just think of yourself as like Play-Doh to be molded. Like, all you can do is just try not to be dried out. Right? It's just like be Play-Doh for God, that He can make and mold you into whatever He wants you to be. Because that's all you have to be. A lot of times we like to say, like, well, I want to be a Play-Doh that looks like this.
Right.
Like, oh, God's going to still use your passions, your gifts, your talents and stuff to make you into something that He wants you to be. But there's something better that He can make you into. You just have to be available for it.
That takes a lot of surrender,
mm-hmm.
but there's also so much freedom in that.
Mm-hmm. And so through the prayer of examine is simply just coming to an understanding of, like, okay, where might there be some spaces where I maybe need to surrender more? Or you recognize, oh, I have surrendered in this space and I'm being formed and developed through that. Like, the prayer of examine just allows you to kind of be mindful of, okay, where is God shaping and molding me? Or where can I be shaped and molded better in the future?
Right. So the prayer of examine, while ancient, is definitely still relevant for us today. Thank you so much, Corey.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It can be hard to know how to bring ourselves fully to God. It can be tempting to try to say the right things instead of the truthful things. But God invites you to come to Him just as you are. He invites us to trust His love, mercy, tenderness, faithfulness, and care for us. As we enter into this time, consider these verses. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, He delights in truth in the inmost being. 1 John 3:1 says, See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7 says, Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs on your head are counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. We often hold ourselves tensely, ready to do battle, ready to protect or defend ourselves. But with the Lord, we can truly rest. He is our safe place. You can trust our Heavenly Father to be your shield and your defender. No one can harm you here. Breathe deeply. In the loving presence of our God, remember and reflect on your life this past day. James 1, verse 17 says, "All good things come from our Father in heaven." So take some time to name the things that you are thankful for, the things that God has provided for you. Maybe it's your morning coffee. Maybe it's the furnace in your house or the food in your fridge. It could be a relationship that you're grateful for or the clothes on your back. Maybe it's just the simple fact that you have another day ahead filled with possibilities and opportunities to see and receive God in a new way. Ask yourself, in the past day, were there times where you recognized God's presence? When did you feel distressed, misunderstood, alone? Talk to God about those moments. He was there with you. When did you feel hopeful, encouraged, loved? In those moments, God was there. Over the past day, did you cry out to the Lord in joy and sorrow? How did He respond? Did you notice it? Or are you still waiting for a response? In all of those moments, God was and is with you. What narratives are you believing about yourself, about others, about your calling and purpose? Are they true? Are they helpful? Are they the things that God would say to you? God is still speaking, and He's speaking to you. Were there times the past day when God called to you and you turned away? Are there areas in your life that need to be cleaned, healed, or cleared from your life? Take some time to confess those things to God. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Remember that God prunes branches that do not produce fruit and those that do. In this season, God is pruning you, the good and the bad, to transform you into his likeness. All he asks is for you to abide with and in him. Remember that God is merciful, gracious, and loving, and that forgiveness is already yours. You can look to the future and step into God's calling all over again. Think about tomorrow and consider how you might respond differently than you did today. What are you longing for from God? Take some time to listen and consider what may lay ahead tomorrow. As we close, consider the ancient prayer of Ignatius. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. Whatever I have or hold, you have given me. I return it all to you and surrender it wholly to be governed by your will. Give me only your love and your grace, and that I am rich enough to ask for nothing more. Amen.